Hello and welcome to Module 3, Configuring Endpoint Protection with the Integration into Configuration Manager. So up until this point now, we've understood the benefits of using Endpoint Protection integrated with SCCM. We've looked at some of the planning components to think about, and now we're going to spend a bit of time drilling a little bit deeper into that. So taking those lessons learned from the planning, look at the basic configuration options you have, the settings, etc., and then giving you some ideas of how to configure and use those, and then apply them to your local environments that you might have available. So let's have a look at this at the module overview now and get an understanding of what we're going to go through now for the next few minutes. So in this module around the configuration, we're going to focus firstly on how to configure endpoint protection within Configuration Manager. We'll understand a little bit more about the alerting and how you would configure and set those pieces up. Moving across into definition updates and the options you have of how to pull updates for your particular environment. And then we'll look at a very key piece on the provisioning of endpoint protection with your disk imaging with Config Manager. And that's an important piece to understand because you want to always ensure that as images are rolled out in the enterprise, that the endpoint protection client is already baked into the image. And we'd like to understand a little bit how should we do that? What are the concepts to think about when we roll this out into the environment? And what are the tools that we would use? As well as possibly what post-work should be done before we capture that image and send it off repeatedly in our environment. So from that perspective now, let's step into the first piece around configuring endpoint protection. Let's understand a few of the steps that are required and work through the configuration piece. So earlier in the planning module, we spoke around the endpoint protection site system role. And the important piece to understand there is that the level that it needs to be deployed at. If you run a CAS environment, if you have a CAS environment in your hierarchy, you need to deploy to that level. If it's a single site server, you would obviously go at the higher primary site server. The configuring of alerts, this is the requirement now to understand when should I be notified? When should I be alerted? Because it might not always be coming back to me as the administrator. Ideally, you want the alerts to go to an owner of the collection of those devices. It could be a department, it could be a project, it could be a country. So we might have a very distributed model from an administration perspective. We always want to ensure that the alerts for any breaches from a virus or malware perspective are sent to the relevant owners for that area so they can action or start to remediate or start to become aware of what is going on in their network. The next step to understand is really the key piece around the definition updates. What choices do I have around actually setting those sources up? And that's a very key piece to understand when you start to plan your integration with Configuration Manager. What we'll do, we'll go across and understand a little bit more around how do I set those sources up, what options do I have, and how I can actually determine those based on different policies. They could be policies for a geography. They could be policies for a particular collection. That collection could be based on departments or a geography. What I can then start to do is build up relevant sources based on the policies that are going to apply to that particular collection. And the last two components to think around are configuring the default anti-malware policy and what we want to do around that, and ideally starting to create custom ones for us to use. And then we'll understand more on the custom client settings for endpoint protection. So from a steps perspective now, I'll go across to the console. We'll understand a few pieces to get a view of exactly what are those steps required to understand exactly what should we do when we start to plan and think about it. And the first thing that we want to understand is the alerting piece. What are the few steps to the alerting piece? If we have a look at the slide now around configuring email alerts, the first piece to think around is the email settings. Are we going to configure alerts by collection? And then are we going to set up email subscriptions for specific alerts? And this is a question mark in your planning. So firstly, are we going to set up proactive email alerting or alerts? And are we going to email those alerts out if need be? And when we start to answer these questions of, yes, we're going to do alerts, we need to understand who are the people that are going to be subscribed to these alerts, people or teams or persons. And ideally, we want to match those to our collections. And this might be a very key piece to understand in the collections, how they're built out in your environment. Do those map through to how we want to set alerting up? So alerting, not always popularly used. However, the benefits are there of configuring that correctly to match back to owners that would be responsible. And the important piece here is to understand as an enterprise, do you have any compliance that you need to subscribe to yourselves as a company? If so, do we need to ensure there are application owners or collection owners that might need to always be proactively alerted around breaches of virus or malware within their particular scope of responsibility? So great alerts. The next piece and the key piece here really is around configuring definition updates. So let's have a look through the couple of options you have, and then when we go across the console, we'll unpack it a little bit more. The first piece around definition updates is that you have the flexibility to configure multiple update sources. So through the relevant malware policies, you can decide how these sources should be set up and configured. What options do you have? Well, you can just use Configuration Manager by itself. And the idea behind these few options is that you can mix or match them and set precedents. So the first one, Configuration Manager. There's WSUS, which we mentioned is a prerequisite with being rolled out in the environment. And then we have native Microsoft Update. And Microsoft Update is a key one to understand around, should we allow people to connect directly to the internet to get those updates? If that is the case, we might have certain collections where those users who use those devices in the collection are not going to always be connected to the internet, or they might only be back on the LAN every few months. We need to ensure that that collection has the precedence of ensuring that Windows Update sits a little bit higher than Configuration Manager itself. So a simple little example, but can have a big difference to ensuring that your clients in those collections are updated frequently. And the last two pieces are interesting. The second last one around the Microsoft Malware Protection Center, that's an option that you can subscribe to as well. And one that's not frequently used but is customizable is using normal UNC file shares. So if you look at those five sources you have as options, so obviously Configuration Manager, if you're doing the full integration into Configuration Manager, let's leverage the benefits of what you already have out there for doing your software updates. If you're going to using WSUS plus Configuration Manager, targeting the collections respectively for the particular purpose. And then we get a bit more granular around saying, right, if we're not going to use a central hierarchy or an infrastructure that we have out in our environment already, let's use the internet, whether it be Microsoft Update or whether it be through the Protection Center, or possibly just to a file share. And a file share is useful if you've already made an investment in third-party technology for your software updates, for your patching. You might want to leverage file shares just for your endpoint protection. So you have those options and you can customize them as you see fit depending on your environment. So now let's take those concepts, let's go across to our environment now and start to demonstrate those key pieces on what should we think about from a configuration and a deployment perspective. So if we move across to this environment that we have here, this is my Configuration Manager console, my administration console. And what we want to do is just take a step back and have a look at some of the settings, the configuration that you have, and then drill down into the policies and how you would start to use those. So within the actual console itself, for those that have not seen that, just a quick tour of the area that we're going to be focusing on. So we're going to have a look at two pieces, the assets and compliance and their software library. And then within those, we will step through the relevant nodes around the configuration and the deployment options that you have available to you. So the first piece that we're going to spend a bit of time in is the Assets and Compliance node. And within that you have the Endpoint Protection node in the actual tree view over here. And within that you have your relevant policy sections. If we look at the first one around anti-malware policy, you have the default client one that's available to you. When we speak around configuring these policies, we'll spend a little bit more time understanding what do you need to do and think about as you start to add more policies in here. And when we actually configure the policies in Module 4, we will start to build out some policy options and we'll drill down a little bit deeper. So for now, let's just work on having a look at the properties of the default one to understand what are the options that we need to think about when we start to plan into the configuration process in our project. So if we look at the default one, and this would be the normal for each malware policy that you have in your environment, of what you need to set up and configure from a client's perspective. So whoever adheres to this policy or has the policy implemented on them from a collection perspective, you would need to configure and set up the relevant components over here for the usage in those collections. What would the actions be? What are the exclusions? And what should we start to work with? So by default, we can start to build up our own policies, work with the one that is here. We can also import policies if required to have a view of these. And we'll spend some time in the policy section a little bit later around the configuration and requirements. The piece we want to focus on just to close this piece off, this component of this topic, is the definition updates. So on this particular policy, we'd go into the definition updates and we would focus on the set source button over here. If I click on that button, I immediately have this dialog box that pops up. Within this box, I have those exact same five list options that we spoke around in the PowerPoint section. And this is where I would select the options of what I want to use as well as their precedents. This default policy selects the 4 out of the 5. It does not use the UNC one, but I might want to come through here and I might want to decide that actually I want to select Microsoft Update to not be used, and I would not want to use the Protection Center. I can then take those choices out and start to only use Config Manager or WSUS. Or I could work with the precedents and change the level of their functionality. When we start to build out our policies in Module 4, we'll start to work a little bit more in depth with this on how this would actually be used. So this would be the malware policy section. I would configure it, select my source updates, and then obviously commit those into the policy itself. But now how would I actually start to deploy these components out? If I move back to the software library, back into software updates, because this would be the mechanism of rolling these out, leveraging our configuration manager hierarchy, in my automatic deployment rules, I would start to create an automatic rule, automatic deployment rule, and I would step through this wizard now of deciding exactly how would I want these components rolled out and applied to my environment. And these would be the steps that I would build for each deployment rule and then apply that to the relevant collection. And the settings would depend exactly on the collection you're sending it to and the agreement with the owner or application owner or collection owner of how they want their protection to be implemented. If I just step through this for a quick second in the first few pages, and we'll just select a few simple items over here. And the area I want to focus on to show you is this piece over here. And this is where you would build out your actual criteria based on the properties of what you want to do from an update perspective or the updates perspective. You might want to focus purely on product, firstly. So for a particular reason, you might build out deployment rule based purely on product. If I select into products, I might say, right, well, this particular deployment rule is going to only focus on a certain component. And in this case, you might say, right, it's going to be just Windows 8 as an example. So let's move back to Windows 8. Maybe get my alphabet correct. Say Windows 8. And we might only care about a particular update or a particular level of severity. So if we move into the severity, say, right, for this particular one, we only care about critical. So the collection that we're going to assign this to or apply this to, we might only be focusing on Windows 8, only care about the critical severity for the updates we want to pull down. Based on the classifications, what do we care about? So yes, we've selected the product, we understand the severity, but within the actual updates itself, on the classification, we need to decide how important are these. We might not want service packs to be rolled out. We might not want to do feature packs or definition updates. Now in this case, we're looking at rolling out for anti-malware in this case. So we'll take critical updates out and we'll do definition updates as an option. And then I'd have a view of all that's going to be applied to the collection that I would apply this rule to. So that's in a view, a way of automating this piece out. But what have we done as from a Microsoft perspective, kind of kickstart this as an option? If I go back to assets and compliance and back to our anti-malware policies, the second option you have here is import. So what you could do is you could actually import some templates, learn from the configuration that we've set up, go back to your software library and build out your automatic deployment rule based on some configuration that we've already pre-built and set up in these templates. So as a simple example, if we are zooming to these templates for a minute, you can see the path, it's a default path. It'll be your system drive and where configuration manager is installed. And within the admin console, you would find the EPT templates folder and have these available to you. So within these, you can start to get some predefined ones. And the very key ones you can think about are, from a Hyper-V perspective, do we have some particular hosts that we are possibly monitoring from endpoint protection perspective? Well, let's start to import that template and use that. Are we looking at on-premises Exchange? Are we looking at file servers? Anything to do with our directory or our name lookups? If that's the case, we can apply these base ones and then modify them as required. So if I go and select the Hyper-V one as an example, say open, I have this already set up, configured from a description perspective. We know what the focus area is. The schedule scans. So there's been some pieces set up here around default. Now you'll notice that this is grayed out. So there are no schedule scans from the Hyper-V perspective in the beginning. And this is why we would not want to implement some template settings, because unaware of how your Hyper-V environment is set up, as well as when you would want your scans to happen on your hosts. So we could come in and say, right, I'm happy to change this, but within my policy, I only do quick scans and I do them possibly on a Thursday. Select the times and when should it run. So I know that on a Thursday at 2 o'clock in the morning, I would not have this scan impacting anything at my host layer within this Hyper-V environment or the collection that these that this policy would apply to. So we've got some default ones we can include and make changes. I can say okay to that. And I would now have this template available for me to use. And I can come in and make my changes of what I see fit. I could say deploy, and I could select my Hyper-V host collection that would be here, and that would be immediately available and rolled out to those particular hosts. So a simple way to actually work with those components around configuration. And ideally, I could create a new one and step through those pieces. And we'll come back and we'll spend a bit more time here to understand how those work when we get to the policy section. So what we'll do is we'll jump back now to the slides and get a view now really of the next piece in this. So from a configuration, from a planning perspective, we've got to the point now where we've built up our policies. And if you think back to that last workflow around the structure, we went through the administration, the configuration of the site roles, the right location. We've built up our policies. We'll start to manage those policies. Then we start to get to roll those clients out. So before we start to build those custom settings out, we might actually deploy our endpoint protection client in a variety of fashions. And one of those is doing it through disk imaging and repeatedly pushing that image out into our environment. So what we'll do now is we'll spend a few minutes understanding exactly what are the options available. Where does it actually look? How does it work within the OS itself using endpoint protection from a deployment perspective? And then we'll come back and look at the post configuration that would be required before we capture that image to push out repeatedly in our environment. So let's go back to the slides and unpack that just a little bit more. So from a disk imaging perspective, there are a few components around the prerequisites and installation process. The first piece is the prerequisites for installing endpoint protection client on that reference computer. And we'll have a look and see exactly the options you have of installing it, as well as pulling through the relevant policies as required. How would this work to install on that reference computer? And then how would we verify that it's actually working correctly? And then we'll have a slide just to understand the reference pieces of actually pulling those pieces out from before we actually start to capture them. So on the disk imaging side, before we go back to our environment, what are the key things to think about? If you look at the slide over here with this table, you can manually roll out the endpoint protection client, and we'll see exactly how that works. But we might possibly want to do that through the command line as well. So in this table, on the left-hand side, you'll see the relevant switches that can be used and the relevant meaning on the right-hand side. This table should be something you save for the piece when you start to configure and roll out endpoint protection in your environment before you start to image. This can obviously be used as well if you start to roll out per normal, but ideally this is more focused on the imaging side. So on the left-hand side in the table, we have the switches around normal, silent, quiet, where there would be a normal installation. So we'll see the GUI using the /i switch. The no replace refers to ripping off third party. And in the beginning, in our first module, I referred to that in that workflow. And one of the pieces before we actually got this rolled out was that switch over. So you might want to take off the endpoint protection or the software that you might have already invested in your client's environment. If I use this no replace switch, I would not be replacing that. I would install endpoint protection client alongside those two key pieces. And there might be one or two scenarios that you might think that's the case. You might leverage some of the software configuration in your third party and use endpoint protection for its purpose. But keep in mind that you'd always want to ensure that there is no conflict around the scanning, because that's going to make a huge overhead impact to the client's operating system where you have these two running side by side. So the option is there to do a no replace, but ideally you want to ensure that we do take off and deploy the endpoint protection as seamlessly as possible. The last piece in the table to have a look at quickly is around the policy piece. So here in the second or the third last row, we have the policy switch. And this is an important piece to understand, because ideally when you start to image, you want the latest policies to apply immediately when this configuration is done. So let's think of that workflow for a second. We've gone all the way to the configuration and the customization. We install endpoint protection into our reference image. But when we install it, it's a base default install. There's no definition updates. There's no configuration. There's no settings. It's the native out-of-the-box installation of endpoint protection, or the client for endpoint protection. So what we could do then is start to export the policy from the Configuration Manager console and reference that when we install this. And what that means is that when we export the policy, just before we do the installation, we have the latest policy available to us. In that policy, what have we done? Well, we've configured the scans, the times, as well as the sources on where to pull that from. Now, if we are imaging for possibly workgroup machines, we might want to make sure the policy we pull is doing software updates through as a source through Microsoft Update or WSUS, possibly not Configuration Manager, because this client might be sitting purely in a workgroup environment within our infrastructure. So those small little things do make a change and make a difference to how you roll out the endpoint client. So when we pull that policy, we reference it with this relevant policy switch, and then we ensure that our reference image, before we shut it down and capture it, always has the latest policy applied to us. We would then manually, if required, run the latest definition updates to ensure that we are up to date to the installation. And we might do this on a periodically time, maybe it's every 3 months, every 6 months, re-image, newest policy, newest updates, and away we go from a reference deployment perspective. Going back to the slides, a quick look at one more slide around the process of post-deployment configuration. So on this slide over here, I've built a table just to show you the key configuration you would require post the deployment before you actually capture your image. So you'll see in this list over here, there's got a few registry keys that you would need to delete. So once you have done your installation, configured and applied the relevant policy with that switch, and the installation is successful, you might have applied some updates, definition updates, you would then come back in again and delete these relevant registry keys. The important piece to think about over here is, when we say delete these registry keys, we need to make sure that we do nothing afterwards. So we do not reboot this machine, we do not make changes from updates perspective, because any changes done to the client itself, such as a reboot for example, will put these registry keys back in place immediately. So we always want to ensure that we install the client, either manually or through the command line, reference the relevant policy that is required from an anti-malware perspective, do any definition updates if that are required, delete the registry keys, shut down, and capture that image as need be. Ideally, with Configuration Manager, very simple to do the capture and deploy out. If it's a third-party tool, then use that tool to capture this reference image and then import it into the relevant repository. So what we're going to do now is we'll kind of go across, get a view of what this looks like from an installation perspective, understand the options we have available to us, and then that'll give us a full view of the point of where we've done the relevant configuration. So let's go across to our environment. So we spent a little bit of time having a look at the policies and where they would be. And ideally, you would have your enterprise policy here, or the policies depending on your collections. Now, if we're building a reference image for a particular collection, we'd want to use that policy in the reference when we deploy this out. So what are our options around deploying the endpoint protection client? The first one is actually having a look within the Configuration Manager software itself, actual source files. You would have the SMS setup folder. And within inside of that, you would have your client folder available to drill down into. Within client, one of the ones is the endpoint protection client. And you could manually kick this off and install the components. Completing this piece over here would obviously do a base installation, a base configuration. You would then need to go and customize and configure this manually yourself, or if you're rolling this out into your environment with Configuration Manager, you can start to pull your settings down. But the reference we're making now is run the imaging side. So we want to ensure that when we finish this, we have the latest policies applied, latest definitions applied, and we capture and shut that down for a reference perspective. If I go into the command line, referencing back to that same location again, you might possibly want to come into this and use the relevant policy switch to allow you to reference back to your malware policy. Which policy would we use? Going back to our console, we might have our default policy that's available to us if need be, or we'd build out our new one and allow us to export that policy and then reference that policy whenever need be. And we would build it in here and say, right, default enterprise one policy. That policy is used, it's been exported, and I can reference that policy from a location perspective if need be. As soon as that image is rolled out and deployed, that policy will be adhered, and whatever the configuration is, that configuration will be applied to the client. So that thinking needs to be taken into account, obviously in the planning stage, because if you remember module one, we had that workflow, it came to that like a three-tiered section of the options, and we had the option of how do I actually work with this client? How do I make the configuration settings for policy? But when it goes over the wall and starts to get deployed into my environment, what is my client adhering to? Is the client going to be a native default install with the default settings? In some cases, you might need that for a particular reason. Maybe a power user, they do their own configurations. But coupled to that, we might want to ensure that it's always in our image baked in, policies are configured, policies adhered to. When it's rolled out through my enterprise, immediately those policies are applied and used. So ideally, I can manually install, I can do command line, but the key piece is install, change, delete those registry keys, shut down, capture, and then repurpose and reuse on a repeatable process out into your environment. So up until this point now, we've kind of looked at the key areas around the benefits. We've looked at the planning, the prerequisites, the pieces that are required. We've now started to touch into the actual console itself at a very high level. We've looked at the policies, how would we deploy those policies out, how would we use them. In the next module, we'll start to drill down deeper into those individual policies, understand the configuration and the pieces that would be required to use in our environment. And referencing back to that workflow again, we get into that level of it's in production, it's being used. We want to make sure the step before is in place as well. We've configured the policies, we've got the precedences right, we've made the relevant changes, and we're applying it to the collections on a repeatable process to be used. So that brings us to the end of module 3, and ideally now we'll start to move across into module 4 to understand the configuration pieces at a lower level around making changes to policies and starting to use them.